Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with one of the most important commercials that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 8 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, now you can help in a couple ways. First, get everyone you know to go to my new media platform, frankspeech.com. There you'll find all the footage from my cyber symposium and many other important broadcasts. Also, I am personally doing a new daily live show to get the truth out. It's at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Secondly, I'm offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only available on frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
Make sure and put the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. This will get you up to 66% savings at MyPillow.com. The code word KATE, my first name, K-A-T-E. Help support Mike, help support this show, and help support yourself in getting some amazing, amazing products. These are the best ones I've ever owned. Go to MyPillow.com, code word KATE. Hey, everyone. There is a spray, a zeolite spray, on the homepage of katedalyradio.com. Right now, you can grab this spray for only $5. It's a huge, big deal because they don't usually give it away for this, but they want you to try it. And this is an effective cellular cleanse. And it has a unique activated hydrated zeolite cellular level cleanse. All you do is spray it in your mouth. You can't taste it. And each day, and you'll get rid of the toxins in your body. You'll get rid of all those things like mercury and lead and arsenic and all the things that come through our food and environment and everything else. This is an advanced cellular cleanse. And my daughters actually turned me on to this. They were giving it to their kids too, and the kids were feeling better. Skin things were clearing up. All kinds of things were happening. People even give this for autism and having amazing results. Has no taste and it's 100% natural. You'll love this product. It's called Pure Body from Touchstone. Even Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, huge proponent of this spray as well. So go get it. Thanks, you guys.
Think while it's still legal. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
But I know that for some Americans, a mask is not always affordable or convenient to get. So next week we'll announce how we are making high quality masks available to the American people for free. I know we all wish that we could finally be done with wearing masks. I get it. But they're a really important tool to stop the spread, especially of a highly transmittable Omicron variant. So please, please wear the mask.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Supreme Court has blocked President Biden's COVID vaccine mandate for large businesses.
Hi there, welcome. Last hour on a Thursday. Are we on a Thursday? Thursday. Wow.
Yeah.
Week just slid by. What can I say? January is already sliding by, and we're just about to hit 6.2 million on the podcast. I just can't believe it. This live show you're listening to right now is turned into podcast form. There are 13-minute segments, 40-minute segments, all done by topic, and you can go and share these. Let's start really sharing the truth like we have been. It's been really amazing to see what even just the podcast after the show is doing, which is really, really cool. Welcome, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. And in that clip, by the way, nothing's free. Biden can say free every day like he does. Nothing's free. The government doesn't have a vat of its own money. Well, now they do. But it's our money, our taxes. And so nothing's ever free. Somebody's always paying for it. And the other thing is still to this day, after 2 years, if you think the cloth that you've been breathing into all day long is keeping you from getting something, I'm not quite sure what to say anymore. You have an immune system on the inside of your body. So, how many times have we said that? Like, a gazillion in the last 2 years. It's on the inside. Didn't stop working 2 years ago. Our guest in this hour is Nicole Sirotek. Thank you so much for joining us from AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. I'm really happy to have you. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear from you on the front line, helping people all over the country, Canada too. Never forget about Canada. We got a lot of fans up there. But what it's like for you right now, because I think you understand a lot of things that are going on, and I just kind of love to get your take on, here we are 2 years later, what are your thoughts on this whole situation as you're helping people that go into the hospital? What's going on there? And tell us a little bit about what your life is like right now.
Well, I got to tell you, if you can avoid going into the hospital, you have a very high survival probability.
Amen, sister.
I can't tell you that. Yeah, you obviously know from your own experience that the hospitals are, I hate to say it, but the hospitals are murdering people with their...
I'm glad you're saying it.
If this is visual, I would be like doing air quotes.
Yeah.
But we find that the protocols are actually killing people. No one is actually using critical thinking skills. Nobody is using science. Nobody is even practicing medicine anymore.
I know.
The protocols are set by the hospital, and the doctors and nurses have to follow them or they'll lose their job. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, well, do this, do this, do that. I'm like, this is what I'm asking for is not anything unusual. It's not anything weird or crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's standard medicine. And they're like, oh, we can't. It's not. It's outside the order set. They're intentionally doing what they're doing and harming people.
Yeah, it's truly, it's so sickening that I said at the, I just reached the 10-year mark on the radio. And my comment was, out of all 10 years, the most disparaging, despicable thing I've seen is that you're not in a pandemic when people are dying in the ICU. It can't be a pandemic. It has to be the treatment that's going on there, and the death rate is extremely high, which explains a lot. Uncle Milty has a question for you.
I'm just curious. Have you ever heard a doctor say, well, what about our oath?
Yeah.
Oh. The doctors, the Hippocratic Oath is actually optional. And I think only like 40% of doctors actually take it.
Oh my gosh,
Nicole, we found that out too, because we're like, what about the oath? We all took an oath, and they're and they're like, actually, that's optional.
I'm oh,
like,
how nice.
That is not optional. And so when did you start realizing that it was the remdesivir and the ventilator and all this new protocol that Fauci and the and his little organization decided, even before they named COVID, that this would be the protocol with this experimental drug that's so dangerous? When did you start seeing that it was the protocol?
Oh, wow. So I'm going to have to take you all the way back to May of 2020.
Excellent.
When I was one of the original nurses that went to New York City to help on the front lines when the pandemic started.
Ooh.
I was that nurse that went viral on the internet that was in the break room crying, saying, hey,
I remember that video.
And no one is listening to. And they were forcing me to hang remdesivir, and I saw it kill everyone, and I said, I'm not going to do it. And so they moved me, and they were going to find another nurse that would hang it, and the patient would die, and the patient was ready to be extubated. So from the very beginning, when the pandemic started, we saw this drug and these protocols killing people, and we were saying, hey, it's killing people. Stop doing what we're doing. And then they just kept giving us cookies, patting us on the back, banging pots at 7 p.m. and saying, you're not going to save everybody. So I have been living in the twilight zone since this nightmare started.
Yeah.
Because I did not sign up to murder people. And this is why you also see so many nurses have left the profession. I mean, we've dealt with so much nurse suicide, so much doctor suicide, because they won't participate in this. I mean, several doctors that I had actually worked with in New York committed suicide by jumping off the hospital building.
Oh, my
God.
They didn't want to participate in crimes against humanity. I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me saying their loved one that, you know, their sister, their wife, their spouse, cousin that was a nurse or a doctor committed suicide because they couldn't deal with it anymore.
Oh, my God.
What was going on in these hospitals?
Nicole.
So we all know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, so we all know, and it's either you become desensitized to it, you're ignorant to it, or you get out, unfortunately, sometimes by suicide, or you run away and you abandon your career. because you won't participate in it.
What's causing the disconnect? I've met young and all really young nurses who bought into it's a mystery and people are just dying and we don't know why. Here's the remdesivir, and I thought, is it because they don't do any research? Is it because the doctors refuse to do the research? Is it because they want to turn a blind eye? What is the disconnect? Because you'll have a nurse that'll... I got bawled out, you know, on the comment section of my video by a couple of nurses. And then a few other nurses would come in and say, you're nuts. They are killing people with this remdesivir. What in the world's going on? So how could we have two totally opposite sides on this?
I think it's a combination of multiple things, and for each nurse, it might be one or two of these combinations, but the pharmaceutical industry has infiltrated nursing and medical schools. Mm-hmm. Like, the American Nurses Association is funded by Johnson & Johnson. You know, many pharmaceutical schools that teach pharmacists are funded by Abbott and Pfizer. So when you're the one with the purse strings, you get to say what's in the curriculum. So right off the bat, we're groomed, just like pedophiles groom children, that certain things are this way. We're never taught any other way. So until you experience something that causes you to question the narrative, you don't question the narrative.
Right.
Another thing is, too, they like to replace seasoned nurses with new graduate nurses because they're more apt to follow orders.
Oh, that's a great point.
And not question it at all. Like, mm-hmm. I was in a hot zone in Texas, and I was talking with this nurse that was giving me a report. I was trained by a nurse that had only been a nurse for 9 months, and I've been a nurse for a decade. Luckily, she was an amazing, like, nurse that really cared about making sure I knew how to manage everything on the unit. But I was getting a report from another one who had only been a nurse for 4 months, and she was telling me everything that was going on with this patient. I'm like, hey, this person's on a vent. I'm looking at these labs, and everything you're telling me, it's telling me that he's in a diabetic, you know, crisis. He's not here for COVID.
Right.
He may have swabbed positive for COVID with those, you know, fake tests that are arrogant.
Yep.
But it looks like this guy needs insulin and, you know, and electrolytes and all this other thing that goes with a diabetic crisis. And she's like, you know, that's above my pay grade. If you want to take it up with the doctor, go ahead. I'm like, that is your pay grade. You're supposed to bring these things to someone's attention. You know, and that was the first patient that was extubated in almost 2 years that survived.
Oh, my
gosh. Because I got him insulin.
We stopped
running the COVID protocol, and we got him the insulin he needed.
I'm so glad you're saying this, because they came out, when people have pneumonia, which I told the doctor, gee, can you describe COVID? And the answer I got was, well, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. So when I said, you know, describe it, and there was no answer to that, and I'm looking at my husband, who I thought clearly had pneumonia, what's happening now for people that don't realize is when you go into the hospital with these symptoms and you're put on the COVID train for cash, it means that you get this different protocol now. So if you would have gone in for pneumonia 3 years ago, you would have been treated much differently. Now you get remdesivir, dangerous drug, experimental. They'll just swear it's safe, and then you get a vent too early, and the combination of that is what is killing people. Correct?
Absolutely. Okay. When we teach our nurse advocates who advocate for these people in the hospital and advocate when people are sick, is the first thing we tell them is ask how many doses of remdesivir did they get, because if they got 5 doses or more, the percent survivability is less than 25%, and you need to be honest with the family. We may not be able to save them. The number one thing you can do if you do end up in a hospital is absolutely decline the remdesivir and pay attention that they're not sneaking it up there anyway.
That's so true.
As soon as you become hypoxic and you get a little bewildered, because remember, they're locking the family away from you.
Yeah.
They're going to keep asking you, do you want this? Do you want this? And as you're panting for breath, and like, they're going to be like, do you want this? And then eventually, if you're out of it because you're hypoxic, you'll probably say yes, or they'll just hang it in the middle of the night. We've seen that as well.
I've seen that too. I'm getting letters from all over the country for the last 6 months, and you've been getting them a lot longer than me, right? And that's the same scenario over and over and over again, every hospital. And I was able to go in with my husband for the state that I live in, but a lot of people aren't, and that's why they get frustrated. And I went in, but I still had to fight that fight. And people don't realize it's to fight. And so that's why they call you guys. It's AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. You are an advocate network. And so I know we have to go to break in like 40 seconds, but when we come back, I want to talk about how you advocate for them when they're in the hospital. I get a lot of emails. I'm not sure about you too. I get a lot of emails about people that are in the hospital already going, well, now what can I do? They won't listen to me. Because they're not listening anymore. They won't. When I got them to do the high dose vitamins for my husband, it was because I was the first one to buck the system in this system here. But all over the place, they will not listen to anyone who wants high dose. And that's why you started this whole clip off with, wait a second, don't go in. You can do this at home. This is so simple. You can. You got this. But we'll come back in just a moment and talk about how you advocate. This is so important that everyone realize that you are a group of nurses that go in. You know how to talk to these people because the families are feeling, not only feeling, but know that they don't have any rights. The hospital is taking your body autonomy of your loved one and saying, you don't get anything. We're going to do to them what we're ordered to do for liability, for our own rear ends. We'll be right back. More with Nicole Sirotec from the AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. Be right back. Hi, everybody. Go to the bottom of my homepage. You're going to see an ad for Z-Stack, Dr. Zelenko's new vitamin supplement that combines zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. All of those things that we talk about on the show, he has combined them into one supplement. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified physician in New York. He was the one that gave ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to Trump and told him about that, and he was really the guy that started the frontline doctors. Dr. Zelenko formulated the Support Your Immune Function supplement. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Take this every day. This is a great combination of a supplement that you can take of all the things we talk about on the show. This is an amazing product to keep you well and make sure that you go get this. This is also manufactured in the USA. Head and order this. Go to the bottom of my homepage at katedallyradio.com. Hi, this is Kate, and I just wanted to let you know about a new product that I fell in love with, and I want you to have it too, and you can get a special deal on it right now. It's a wonderful sanitizer that really cleans, hospital grade. They use electricity to do it, and it's really natural, and it's not sticky. It doesn't have alcohol in it. It's just an amazing new product, and it's concentrated, so you actually get tons of bottles of it for a really low price, and it stores well for prepping. So I would highly recommend this and get it while you can. Instead of $250, you can grab it for $44. This is at the bottom of my homepage. You can find the little ad on the bottom of my homepage, katedallyradio.com. Click on it. You'll love this product.
We need a new kind of clean. To do that, Clean Start combines two of nature's most powerful forces, water and electricity, to produce electrolyzed water, or HOCl. HOCl is your body's first internal response after an infection or trauma. In fact, it's significantly more effective at killing bacteria, viruses, mold, and mildew than bleach or other household cleaners. Clean Start's globally patented tablet-based hand sanitizer turns any quart of tap water into FDA-approved, alcohol-free hand sanitizer and registered wound care solution to a new kind of clean. Clean Start.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. Tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a very important guest, and I cannot wait to ask her more questions about the advocating process in the hospital. So many of you, as we're really going now into flu season, cold season, and pneumonia season again, are going to think you have Omicron, which is a total joke. There's no test for Omicron. It's a word. It's a word they came up with about a month ago. And think you're testing for that and everything else. And so we have something going on that is so psychologically damning in this country with propaganda. I'm hoping that people can see through this so that they do not enter a hospital if at all possible. And the nurse we have with us, Nicole Sirotec, I'm so glad glad that you're with us because you were outspoken from the beginning. You were the one that was on viral video saying this is what they're doing in New York. And I so applaud you for doing that. You have no idea because we talked about you on the show. And I just wanted to let people know it was really brave of her to do that because the consensus out there in the medical community is defensive. You're just attacking us instead of looking at what they're doing to the patient and causing, you know, the deaths in these patients. So the advocating process, are you able to make a difference in the hospital right now that they've kind of buttoned down on their protocol and they'll do nothing but their protocol? Are you able to help?
Yes, we're able to help. I mean, we help even if we know that it's absolutely impossible to help. Mm-hmm. We still will help. The key is, A, early intervention, never getting into the hospital. And if you do end up in the hospital, that you advocate, like, yes, strenuously for your loved one. And the hospitals, as we've learned to advocate against the hospital and against these, like, you know, disastrous protocols that are murdering people, the hospitals have actually gotten smarter and more tyrannical. Like, we've literally had families have been arrested by the police for trying to, you know, be with their loved one. They have forcibly removed people out of the hospital and had restraining orders put against them. I mean, all because they were in their being, or they just didn't feel comfortable with them being in there. If they did have visitation policies, if you even mention anything outside their protocol, they become, you know, aggressive and hostile. And then they have to have security there if you're visiting. And then half the time, quote unquote, security is busy. We have seen a lot of tyrannical things. We've actually seen power of attorney stripped from spouses. Jeez. Where the hospital has power of attorney. And then we have to fight another legal battle, just trying to get power of attorney back. Or if your loved ones, let's say, like, if my husband ended up in the hospital and we're legally married, they will not honor my de facto power of attorney because we're married. They'll say, we're sorry, he didn't make a surrogate decision maker when he came into the hospital. Hospital now has power of attorney. And then I'd have to go get an attorney, which, who has money?
Right.
Because, you know, they've destroyed our economy.
Right.
I'd have to come up with the money to find an attorney to get surrogate decision making powers stored to me temporarily by a judge.
Jeez.
They have become so ridiculously tyrannical, mm-hmm. It is out of control.
Has it surprised you that after 2 years they continue to blame COVID when they're using an experimental drug that had to take it out of the Ebola study because it was causing too much death, and they never look at that? Does it surprise you, or is it the case where no one reads a study anymore? Like, they just kind of take the NIH orders and that's it?
I think that people have become so compliant that they're not willing to research it themselves. Mm-hmm. And then researching it themselves challenges their societal norms and their thinking pattern, mm-hmm. that it's almost too scary to even start that process.
Ignorance is bliss.
I was actually there for the Ebola outbreak. We saw it kill people in live time right there off the coast of Morocco. So, I mean, I am aware of remdesivir. And we saw it. There were hundreds of people that they excluded out of the study that were put on that drug, mm-hmm. that were just test guinea pigs to figure out the dosing. The lowest dosing and frequency necessary not to kill these people to make it go through? And they were putting it on people that were already COVID negative. So the entire study is wrong, mm-hmm. and it's being used for financial gain for the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies, because I don't think most people know is that the hospitals get a 20% kickback off the cost,
right,
of remdesivir.
Wow.
And, like, I am not here to protect special interests. I'm here to protect life, and we actively and aggressively fight against this. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so many things that go on in hospitals. I mean, we literally, I don't know if you noticed, half the time they don't feed the patients. Half the time they don't give them water. Mm-hmm. There's this bizarre theory that they need to dry COVID patients out. Yes. And I had a person go 4 or 5 days without being given water, that he crawled himself out of the bed, ripped off his BiPAP, and was trying to drink the water out of the toilet because they would not give him water.
Oh my God.
And we had to get a court order for them to feed him. You can't starve somebody for 9-10 days.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, they can't breathe. They can't eat because they're on BiPAP. And I'm like, where there's a will, there's a way. There's a way to secure that BiPAP mask on their face with a feeding tube.
Yep.
You need to do something, because your body is breaking itself down. It's quite easy to lose 20 pounds when you're in a catabolic state, when you're being starved while you're sick simultaneously. And
I have noticed a lot of mistakes. lots of mistakes that they're making, because you have 22 doctors now that are hospitalists. And so you have to talk to a new person, and a lot of information does not get exchanged with the next round of doctor you get to talk to. I wish you had one doctor. Then you would know kind of what you're up against. But this is 22 doctors. Uncle Milty?
How is it that they can't keep you out?
Because they just make these policies. The hospital, once again, hospital administration makes a policy that says, oh, because of COVID, and it's highly infectious and it could spread, that you we can't allow visitation.
No, but you get in. How do you get in?
No, we actually work remotely. We tell the family what to do.
Okay.
Unless we're actually working physically on the front lines, which we have done, and which is just as...
Right. True.
Good luck getting any of us to last on the front lines, because I'm like, I won't participate in this. Like, I stuck a family in one time and got fired for it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, no, I'm going to let them say goodbye to their loved ones. Sorry. They all had COVID.
Yeah.
I thought they're going to catch COVID a second time in a week.
Isn't it amazing that they can say that? And yet, loved ones of people that have pneumonia, cold, and flu, because let's call it what it is, they're not getting sick. So they've been just home with the patient for like a week, and they're not sick, but it's so highly contagious, they can't accompany them into the hospital room. That's pretty amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know what the interesting thing is? Their vaccination status doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, either. Like, okay, well, the family's vaccinated. Can they get in there? Oh, no, because it doesn't stop the spread. And I'm like, I literally had to get a court order to get a mom into a pediatric hospital to be with her two-year-old that had nothing to do with COVID.
That's just criminal.
Because they wouldn't let the mom in because she wasn't vaccinated.
That's criminal.
With a booster.
It's criminal is what it is, Nicole. And it's so sickening. And, you know, you were sounding the alarm first. You were the credible nurse that came out and said, this is what they are doing. And it was amazing because at the time, people couldn't put their finger on what was going on because they kept calling it a mystery, a mystery, a mystery. But how long can you call something a mystery? They're 2 years in now, and I swear to you, doctors and nurses, because I've heard it from their own lips, are going, it's just such a mystery. It's just taking people down. And I think you're as dumb as a rock, you know, and I can't imagine that you're giving care to people. But are a lot more nurses figuring it out? Are a lot more doctors figuring it out now after two solid years of this, do you think?
I think a lot of them are, and a lot of them are actually leaving medicine. They're just leaving. They're literally abandoning their professions.
Right.
I have people who are like, I'd rather go do this or that. I have several nurse friends who work as like sales associates at like JCPenney's or something. They're like, I won't go back to medicine. I won't do it.
Well,
I'm not
going
to go kill people.
I just hope that you guys, as far as even goes the Supreme Court thing today, that people leave universal health care, because this is the Obama health care. This is why we got this. The NIH orders from Fauci on what he was going to choose. He chose it before they even named COVID, by the way. He chose remdesivir. I know you know that. But what's interesting, too, is that we're looking at now 2 years of this. And so maybe we can get good doctors and nurses such as yourself to do clinics and be part of things like you have the American frontlinenurses.com. There's a whole advocate button there that you can choose, and she will fight for you. Nicole will fight for you. Do you talk to the administration? Do you talk to the doctors and know kind of what to tell them? What can you do?
Yes. Nurses are actually really well versed in dealing with hospital bureaucracy, and it's kind of funny because doctors actually get a hold of us for help.
That is true.
Like,
I've heard that.
We don't know how to navigate the hospital.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So our advocates know how to navigate the bureaucracy. We know how to escalate a complaint. We know how to talk with your attendings. We know how to get a hold of the CEO of the hospital.
Right.
And we help families navigate that bureaucracy. And so you can actually consult and hire a nurse advocate to help you with that. We also have, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have a free Ask an Advocate Zoom where we help people as well if they can't get into an advocate. And we're looking to actually start the nurse practitioner network because there are so many NPs that are leaving the hospital setting that want to help people that we are deciding, like, man, we should just get all these nurse practitioners and get them onto a cash-based payment system, you know, $25 to help you manage your medication.
Absolutely. Because I was going to ask you
leave
that. No, go ahead.
Yeah, leave that system behind.
Right. I was going to ask you this because I get this a lot. You know, I feel a cold coming on. What should I start doing? And when can I take ivermectin? When should I? Should I wait for the fever? Should I wait for the fever and lung thing to develop? What would you say to somebody as a nurse when they're home?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because if you look and go into the science, I know mm-hmm. that ivermectin being used as an antiviral is new to, like, Western first uh-huh. world countries.
Right.
But overseas, it's actually been used extensively as an antiviral. I mean, they use it for herpes outbreaks, cold yeah. sores, the flu. You know, yeah. if you have, like, a, you know, viral diarrhea, you know, that stomach bug that comes mm-hmm. through, I gave it to my kid for RSV.
Sure.
It works amazingly on everything other than Zika and HIV. So, you know, honestly, if you have the medication and you want to start the FLCCC protocol, the IMAS mm-hmm. protocol, mm-hmm. start it. Even if it's the flu, it's going to work on the flu. Okay. If it's like the stomach bug, it's going to work. It's going to work on everything unless it's like your allergies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or just like a sniffle.
Or bacterial.
Well, true, and then you need like a Z-Pack or something, right? Says the frontline doctor. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And then this is so manageable. I've told people, you know, have an oxygen machine at home. Believe me, people will use it. Trust me on this one. Because we're going to have a lot more, we have more cold and flu coming, and everyone's going to think, you know, that they're going to be the one that's going to die from COVID. Well, if you had an oxygen machine, is there really a need to go to the hospital? Because you've got all the things that you need, right? And it's really kind of a patient's game, isn't it? It's like a 3-week thing. Pneumonia is, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have an oxygen machine at mm-hmm. my house that I was, like, passing out to all my family when they
sure.
had it because,
yeah.
of course, they wait to the last minute, like everyone else,
yep.
to get a hold of me, and they're like, hey, I'm sick, and, you know, Uncle So-and-so is not doing well, Cousin So-and-so is not doing well, and I'm, like, running around everyone's houses,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, y'all should have told me sooner. But, you know, if you have all these things at home, if you have your ivermectin, your vitamin C, and your vitamin D, and
right.
your quercetin, and your zinc, you put this virus back in the place where it's supposed to be, which is just a common cold.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, people can die from the flu too, right? You uh-huh. take your medicine when you have the flu, right?
Right.
This is the first time in modern medicine we tell people, oh, well, there's nothing we can give you. Come back when you're about to die.
Right.
I mean, if you have cancer,
yeah.
don't they say you need to do all these things so we can save your life?
Yeah.
This is the first time they're saying, well, there's nothing we can do for you. You're just going to die. Come back.
And then we'll finish you off with the ventilator as soon as you get in here. We got a serial number for you, you know, assigned to your name pretty much. And
mm-hmm.
and it really is discouraging because of the money they make on the kickbacks. When it says COVID,
absolutely.
The hospital stands to make a ton of money. And we'll be right back more with Nicole when we come back. American frontlinenurses.com. Make sure you put in American with an N. Americanfrontlinenurses.com. We'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show. So happy to have you listening in. You're listening to a great hour with Nicole Sirotek, who is from AmericanFrontlineNurses.com, an advocacy group that will help you through the process. And you can have somebody on your side that will talk to the doctors and nurses, the administration, because when you go into the hospital, you will most likely be shut out and ignored as they do a protocol that's extremely dangerous on your loved one. And this is happening all over the country. I'm getting letters all over the country, as I know Nicole is too. And you have a wonderful, wonderful website, AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. I sure hope you guys donate to them and help them in their cause to make people very aware of this new protocol that started in March of 2020 that has been the real killer of what we've seen in the last 2 years, because what we've seen is people that are dying in the ICU. That's not a pandemic. A pandemic's when you go to 100 funerals in the course of a few months. That's a pandemic, but it's not a pandemic when people just die in the ICU. And so, Nicole, talk about the vent and the amount of vaccinated that end up on a vent and why. This is so important.
Yeah, and this is the part that just breaks my heart because, you know, I'm vaccinated, not with COVID, and my children are vaccinated with all the regular stuff, and people are believing the propaganda that's being put out there about this vaccine and about this jab, and they're thinking that they're protected when they're being lied to. 50% of the people that we help that are on these ventilators are vaccinated as well. And then on top of that, we have the added additional problem of worrying about blood clots and DVTs and heart attacks and strokes in those people. And so the American people are being lied to over this when they are just at the same exact frequency ending up on these ventilators like everyone else. And I mean, we as nurses, we don't discriminate against the people that need help. We save lives in real time is what we like to say. And so we help everyone that comes our way. But it's not making a difference in the hospital setting, other than the fact if you're not vaccinated, you'll probably get discriminated against in the hospital. Right. You'll probably get worse care. I've definitely seen that. We tell our people, if anyone asks you're vaccinated, you tell them that. So that way they won't, like, just kick you out or not give you oxygen. I had to fight an ER doc just to give somebody oxygen because, you know, they'll sit there and berate them for not being vaccinated. And I'm like,
I've seen that too, because they get really ticked off if you don't do their protocol, because there's so much money involved too with that. And they can't go back to the hospital and say, well, I'm going to do something different here. And so then what they do is they'll short them on things, or they'll tell them they're going to get a full dose of, if you can talk them into budesonide, and then they short you half doses on budesonide. It's so crazy to me that they go that far. And it makes me just weep for what state we're in right now, when doctors and nurses will just do what they want and put your loved one in harm's way. And so about 50% on the ventilators are vaccinated. Yes?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because we keep track of some basic statistics, you know, gender, age, you know, geographical location, and their vaccine status. Because, I mean, shoot, if it is saving people, we'll tell people to get it, but it's not. You know, and another thing that we deal with, too, is we get a lot of people coming with, like, the vaccine injury. I had to fly a guy from the East Coast all the way back to the West Coast. He had gotten the vaccine for his job, and he became anaphylactic to, like, everything in his environment. He had, I think in 3 months, 28 ER visits. He had been coded like numerous times, hospitalized numerous times, I think in 3 months. And I had to get him a flying ICU to get him back home. So at least that way he could be, because his adult parents flew out to the East Coast to be with him, but they couldn't figure out how to get him back home to the West Coast. And that was like a whole debacle itself. And these stories just keep coming to us. And we're just like, oh my God. I mean, I flew out my first 5-year-old heart attack case 3 weeks ago.
Jeez.
And I'm like, never in my life have I seen a 5-year-old with a heart attack. And I've dealt with cancer kids. I've dealt with children of all sorts of, like, complex medical issues on multiple different types of, you know, very caustic medications trying to save their life. And never have I had in a decade a pediatric patient with a heart attack.
Oh, just makes me so sad. And people go in not knowing what to do, so they immediately trust the guy in the white coat. And this is where you have to up your game and know more. If you had a couple of minutes in front of a camera that every American right now could go and view, or had to view, if you were in the Biden administration, forced, what would you tell people? What would be that crux? What would you want people to know more than anything right now? Because we're launching headfirst into flu season, and people are just, I'm getting calls left and right. I know you are too. What would you tell people?
Number one, have your medication ready. Have your supplements, be on your supplements. Number two, have your ivermectin ready. And if you think you have it, start the protocol. Number three, decline remdesivir under all cost and make sure that they don't slip it to you. Number four, I think, get a hold of us so that way somebody can back you up, because things are going to get really tyrannical very, very quickly, and you're going to want a fighter in your court.
Okay. Some people think they have to even, like, do power of attorney or whatever, because the hospitals are buckling down and they're becoming more tyrannical. What do you say to that as far as acting
you
as
know,
an advocate?
Honestly, yes. Even if you're married and, you know, you're legally married or anything like that, you need to, as soon as you end up in that hospital, I need paperwork right now. Get the admission person, get the nurse, get the, you know, the clerk. I want to designate a power of attorney right now. Okay. Or you walk in with something written up that's notarized.
Okay.
Because they are not following standard protocol where, you know, the next of kin or the spouse or even the adult, like the parent, is power of attorney. They will challenge you on that. And if you don't have the money for an attorney, you're not going to get that back. And they are going to do whatever they want to your loved one.
Do you have those forms? Do you have those forms?
We don't, but I do believe Dr. Artis.
Yes, Brian Artis has them.
Has them on his website.
You're right.
Brian Artis.
Because I know that there's a lot of people out there that are either alone, they're older, and they're nervous. They are nervous because once they stick you away in that room and they don't let anybody in, you have reason to be nervous. And so right now you kind of have to just say to yourself, I'm probably going to get sick this year and I better have all of this on hand and ready, because we have doctors here that can go ahead and prescribe ivermectin and so forth. So people can get all geared up right now, right? And so that's really important, mm-hmm. but you kind of have to, you have to just go with the thought, I could be very sick. I could, and I don't want to end up there. So I'm going to do everything, you know, so I don't end up there. But if I did, then do I have everything ready to protect myself? Uncle Milty?
If you end up in the hospital and they have a big screen TV playing a beautiful scene of nature like they did for Edward G. Robinson in Soylent Green, run fast.
You'll be
surprised how many times in our Ask an Advocate Zoom that we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, mm-hmm. we're literally getting a FaceTime
right.
of someone in that Zoom that is actually actively in the hospital as a patient on like BiPAP or on like the high flow nasal cannula. And they're like, what do I need to do to get out of here?
Right.
You know, sometimes they're keeping you there. This is another like dirty trick the hospitals do. You uh-huh. can be on like 1 liter of oxygen. And if you take off the oxygen, you'll sat just fine. Mm-hmm. They say, well, if you don't take the remdesivir or if you don't stay here for however many days, typically mm-hmm. 3 days, you'll sign out AMA and you'll get stuck with the entire hospital bill. That's another dirty
yes.
tactic that they're doing to try and keep you in there. Yeah. So you deteriorate or you submit and take the remdesivir.
I have heard of that happening. People have been writing me about that. And the other one is this, and I tell people this all the time. I'm not sure if you tell people this, but is they'll turn it up on the highest amount and they reluctantly, and you have to beg them to even turn it down to say, hey, the lungs are probably going to be just fine if you keep turning it down in increments. They're very reluctant to mm-hmm. do that. They like to keep it hiked high so then they can keep saying the ventilator's the next step. They don't give your lungs a chance to work on their own. I noticed that personally. I'm sure you
have. Yeah, I've seen that. They mm-hmm. also don't give anyone incentive spirometers to help expand their lungs, to increase the surfactant, to break up the mucus in their lungs
right.
and all the infiltrates.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give anyone an acapella to help break up, like, the mucus in the lung bases or anything like that. I'm like,
yeah.
Can we just stop practicing medicine? We're just not going to do what we've been taught to do for decades. We're just throwing this all out the window.
I had to ask multiple times to get it down a couple of increments so that we could be going in that direction to get out of there rather than them keeping it high like they wanted to. Uncle Milty?
You know, they also make a big issue out of signing out. You got to sign out.
Oh, yeah, you got to sign out.
I was in the mm-hmm. hospital recently, and I was not happy, and I finally said, I'm leaving. I got up and started to walk. Oh, you have to sign out. I said, I don't have to do anything, and I just kept walking out the door.
Yeah, they do. They use that as leverage. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, in my career, yes, we've had people leave AMA,
uh-huh.
but it's like, well, if you're not going to do this, and this, and take this medicine, then you're going to have to pay for this entire hospital bill.
Jeez.
I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, and they did.
They literally just won't bill insurance at all.
They did change that act in the first or second week, I think it was February 6th, first week of February 2020, to make sure that they adhered to the protocol 100%, because if they went off the protocol and gave you any vitamins or budesonide or anything like that, then they wouldn't have the amount of liability they've been afforded, the hospitals. And so it's a dirty little secret, another dirty little secret, that they did that even before they named COVID-19. So there is definitely a game at hand here, and it's definitely to our demise. And as a populace, we better wake up. And I know that's your message. Wake up and get Nicole and these wonderful nurses to advocate for you if you find yourself in the hospital. But God forbid that happens, because you can actually do all this from home. We've helped thousands and thousands of people here. I know you have too, to basically get what you need at home, so you never have to go into that money machine and put yourself at risk, right?
Yeah, we have on our website up at the top, there's an entire tab that says early intervention options.
Yeah.
You have legal options with Ralph Lurigo. You have pharmacy options for mail order pharmacies overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You have telehealth service options, like for immediate right now. Lots and lots of different resources, all the protocols, Dr. Zelenko, the FLCCC, everything is right there in that tab. And if you need a nurse advocate, you'll go to the Advocate Network. You can also get into our Ask an Advocate Telegram chat. We have volunteer nurses in there kind of triaging things, telling you where you need to go for this and that and stuff like that. You can also jump into one of our free Ask an Advocate Zooms where we troubleshoot things. A lot of people just jump into those Zooms just to listen to see what's going on, so that way they don't end up in that situation. We have lots of people that are just there just to listen and learn, and we're all about teaching, training, educating. Our slogan is actually educate, equip, and empower, but we actually joke around and say it's educate, ex-debate, empower, because we have a very high extubation rate.
Oh, it's so great. That is so great. If somebody's already on a vent, and I've had this happen a lot, I know you have too, what do you tell them? Because they're already on a ventilator, what can be done at that point? Because I think we're getting into a little too late territory, but can you get them off of that ventilator? I mean, because people usually figure it out by then, you know, my gosh, what are they doing to my loved one?
Yeah, if you end up on a ventilator, the sooner period that you get a hold of us to help with your directing your health care, the better. But as long as we can get to you before they've given you 5 doses of remdesivir and before you've gone into multi-organ system failure, we can still pull you through.
Okay.
It's when it gets a little dicey once you've had 5 doses or more of remdesivir, or if you're already in multi-organ system failure. So if you're already on dialysis because the remdesivir has killed your kidneys, that's when it becomes a very, very hard thing to like get somebody out. But we can bring most people back.
Okay.
From like the grips of the hospital reaper.
Because a lot of people, a lot of people will say, "My person's on a vent. Can I still get them ivermectin? Will that make a difference?" I get that a lot too. What would you say to that?
Yes, as long as they're not in multi-organ system failure. Okay. If you get a hold of the law offices of Ralph Lurigo in Buffalo, New York, and you can just Google them, they will partner with another attorney in your state. And sometimes you have to track down an attorney in your local area. And he can file a lawsuit against the hospital to force them to give ivermectin under the federal and state act of the physician's right to try.
Nice.
And that's where a lot of, like, when people donate to American Frontline Nurses, we help fund a lot of lawsuits for our patients in that may not be able to afford lawsuits.
What's the name again? What's the name again?
Ralph Lurigo, L-O-R-I-G-O.
Okay. Nice.
Super great, amazing freedom fighting attorney. He's the only one in the nation fighting these hospitals to get ivermectin.
Wow.
And so he partners with an attorney that's in your state.
Right.
And piggybacks like, off their license. And then they file a lawsuit against the hospital under. And you should look it up. Like,
right.
Through your state and physician's right to try.
Right.
It's a federal act. 31
it is.
States.
Absolutely. Nicole, you're a blessing to everyone around you. Thank you for speaking out. What a wonderful nurse you are. And I truly, truly depended on good doctors and nurses to help me through my situation. We just need more like you. Go to AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. AmericanFrontlineNurses.com. Be faithful, be fearless, stay in the fight, be back tomorrow. And again, Nicole, thank you.
And God bless.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Be right back. Or no, we won't be right back. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye, you guys. Thanks. KateDallyRadio.com for the podcast.